Good evening. Welcome to our shiur on preparation for Shavuos. Tonight we're going to talk about mostly hashkafa, a little bit of halacha, also about eating milchiks on Shavuos. It's a mixture of halacha and hashkafa. And there is a little bit that you're probably familiar with, and perhaps some things that you're not familiar with, and I want to go through a few of those less familiar points, starting with something that you are familiar with, and then sort of breaking that down and rebuilding afterwards. What do I mean by that? You'll see what I mean. So one of the common explanations of why there's a minhag to have milchiks on Shavuos is because when we went up to Har Sinai on Shavuos, presumably, and got the Torah, we wanted to eat lunch or dinner that day. And the problem was that all of a sudden we got these halachas of Shechita, and we got these halachas of Dam, and these halachas of Gir Hanasha, and these halachas of Chelev, and you have to do the proper Shechita, and you have to remove all the Dam by soaking and salting it for a few days, and you have to do all the other things of Nikur, by the way. It's funny to go on a tangent so quickly, but I coordinate a contemporary halacha shir. So last week we had a class on Hilchos Shechita, and then that was 2 weeks ago. And this past week we took the Talmidim to a slaughterhouse, so I could see the Shechita in action. And we had the privilege of having the person, the Shochet, who both taught the Shir and who came with us to the Shechita house is a Sephardi. And why is that significant? Because Ashkenazim do not have a Mesorah on how to do Nikur. Does anyone know what Nikur means? Nikur is removing the Gir Hanasha. Nikur means literally to uproot. There's a word in Tanakh, the Nakeres Ha'enayim, to scoop out somebody's eye, not in a pleasant way. So Nikur is sort of digging out the Gir Hanasha from the back half of an animal. Ashkenazim do not have the Mesorah of knowing how to do that, of how to get the Gir Hanasha and all the little pieces that come out of the Gir Hanasha and all the other stuff that need to be removed to make the back of an animal kosher. So what do we do in America? Yeah, we just sell the back half of every single animal that we shech to the Goyim, and the Jews get the front half, and therefore there are certain cuts of meat that you generally cannot get as kosher cuts of meat, not because it only comes from pig, not because it only comes from who knows what, but because it's from the back part of the cow, and therefore the goat or the lamb or whatever, and therefore the general shechita houses in America don't have the manpower nor the means to, nor the knowledge base to make that half, back half of the animal kosher. So this person who took us to the shechita house this past week, the Sephardi person who has a Mesorah from his Sephardi Rebbeim on how to do that. So we got to see, besides the Shechita, the very fascinating once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to see what a Nikur of taking up the Gir Hanasha, what the Gir Hanasha actually looks like. It was an interesting experience. So that's one of the many things, and it takes actually quite a while. It took a long time because he was explaining it to us, but it could take, a good half an hour just to take out the prohibited parts of the chelev, the prohibited fats, and all those things. So we come down from Har Sinai, and there's so many things to do and so much to learn, and we want to eat lunch, so that's why they just decide we'll have a milchka meal, and you don't really have to do too much preparation for a milchka meal. You don't have to do the cooking and the shechting and the salting and the nikur of the Gir Hanasha and all the other things. So we have milchiks on Shavuos. And that might be something that you've heard of. Now we're going to do some deconstruction. What I mean by deconstruction, we're going to have at least 4 questions on why that doesn't make sense, why that cannot be where our minhag comes from. First of all, a question that was asked by a contemporary named David Kviat Zatzal. He was with the Mir in Shanghai, and then became the Rosh Hashiva of the Mir in Brooklyn years later. And I saw in his little biography, somebody wrote an article after his Levaya, just in like 5 years ago, that he lived in Bialystok, and the Bialystok shul on the Lower East Side, so there's a city of Bialystok where people, I guess, came and then built the new Bialystok shul on the Lower East Side. He said they were so poor in Bialystok that his father never made kiddush on wine because they couldn't afford wine. So kiddush was always on challah, so they saved up for Dalet Kosos so they could have wine. And he said that there's so little food in town, in Bialystok, that at a bar mitzvah, only the gvirim were able to afford kichel. It's like the regular people didn't serve anything. Gvirim had kichel to serve. It was also interesting that he wrote a lot of svarim, that was sort of David Kviat, and he had a lot of, he had a problem with his hands shaking, and he had very poor penmanship that got worse and worse, to the extent that he wasn't able to read his own handwriting. So when he was 80 years old, he learned how to type. And he published svarim and svarim and svarim. When he learned how to type when he was 80 years old. So that's on a computer. So that's just interesting. So David Kviat asked a very simple question. When was Matan Torah? So there's machlokas, actually, whether Matan Torah was on Vav Sivan or Zayin Sivan. You and I all assume that it was on Vav Sivan, which is Shavuos. That's a machlokas. But the Gemara says everybody does agree, whether it was on Vav or Sivan, that year it was on Shabbos. How to figure out the date, not for now, but everyone agrees that it was on Shabbos. So wait a second. If it was on Shabbos, are you allowed to do Shechita on Shabbos? You're not allowed to do Shechita on Shabbos. Are you allowed to do soaking and salting? Probably not either. So how could you say that the reason why they didn't eat meat was because they couldn't do Shechita? They couldn't do Shechita, forget about meat as opposed to meat. They couldn't do Shechita because it was Shabbos. Nothing to do with, oh, they just learned this new halachas of Shechita that they never knew before. So the whole thing doesn't really start. And if you'll say, well, you know, Shabbos was, he points out that Shabbos happened to have been a chiyuv even before Matan Torah. When did we get Shabbos? Where and when did we get Shabbos? Not at Matan Torah, but before that at? And what? After Yamsuf? A little bit. And Mara. Yeah, so already chayv in Shabbos from well before Matan Torah. So there's no possibility of doing shechita. Like, they didn't even intend to possibly, you know, do any killing, whether it's a kosher shechita or not a kosher shechita. No one intended on Shabbos of having any cooked meat. So that answer doesn't make sense. That's a David Kviat's question. There's another question on the same idea of the fact that we eat milk because they couldn't shecht. A second question, but a similar style. This is a question that's raised by Ron Leibsteinman. You should be healthy and strong. If we assume that Moshe Rabbeinu went up on Har Sinai and he got all the mitzvahs, okay, he got this. So it's a dibros, all of Bnei Yisrael heard. Perhaps, like Rav Sadia Gaon writes, he also got all the Taryag mitzvahs that were sort of included in Aseres HaDibros. So wait a second. When exactly did Bnei Yisrael hear the fact that they now have to do Shechita and get rid of the Chalev and get rid of the Dam? In that afternoon, on that day that they got the Torah, Moshe came down and also taught all of the Torah to Bnei Yisrael that afternoon? That doesn't, I mean, maybe he did. Maybe he was a really good speed talker. And he said all of the mitzvos, an hour and a half, right, in the afternoon. So chances are there wasn't even enough time for Bnei Yisrael to hear about the fact that you can't do shechita, that you have to do shechita, and you have to get rid of all the chalev and all the dam. So what do you mean to tell me that they didn't eat meat because they found out that they couldn't, that they had to shecht? When did they find out that they had to shecht? It probably took weeks till Moshe was able to explain all the mitzvos of the Torah to them. Furthermore, as Rabbi Leibsteinman, what were they eating then? They're eating the man. By Vav Sivan, they already had man. So it's not like, oh, they decided not to eat meat because of whatever. They just got the Torah and they can't do shechita and all the other halachas. Anyway, they had man. So why would they need to eat meat? There's a fourth question on this mahalach, which is a little bit of a different kind of question. But for this, we have to know two things. First of all, if you have a non-kosher animal and it gives milk, are you allowed to drink that milk? Pig milk? Is pig milk kosher? Is cow milk kosher? Cow milk, of course, is kosher. So why, if it's milk, what's the difference if it's from a cow or from a pig? The answer is, I mean, obviously, you'll know the difference. I mean, what's the difference between meat of a cow and meat of a pig? It's the same organic stuff. The answer is hayotzim and hatame tame, hayotzim and hatahar tahar. Anything that comes from a kosher animal is kosher. Anything that comes from a treif animal is treif. So, where does a, let's talk about this, honey come from? A bee. So if bee comes from a honey, I'm sorry, if honey comes from a bee's body, so what halacha should that honey have? Hayote minat tamei should be tamei, and therefore honey should not be kosher, which is exactly what the Gemara points out, and gives whatever answer that it gives. But while we, but without getting into the words of honey, what about milk? Where does milk come from? Milk comes from an animal. Now, a cow, kosher cow. The Gemara asks, how do we know that milk, this is Gemara in Bechorah says, how do we know that milk of a kosher animal is kosher? After all, what could be wrong with a kosher cow giving milk? Where is this milk coming from? Something that you're allowed to eat? Well, are you allowed to eat a walking around mommy cow? Eva min hachai, of course. Both Jew and non-Jew can't eat Eva min hachai. And therefore, if you have milk that comes from a walking around cow, what is that milk? That milk is yotzei min ha? Ha what? Tamei or tahar? Yotzei min ha-tamei. Eva min hachai is asur. You can't eat that mother. That mother's walking around on all fours. She just had a baby a few weeks ago. And now you're taking milk from that mother while the mother's walking around, so that means the milk is yotzei from something that's usher to eat. So milk should be usher to eat. That's what the Gemara's question is. How do you know that you should be allowed to drink milk, period? Milk of a kosher cow, a kosher healthy cow. After all, that cow that's walking around is a shtick Eiver Ben Achai, as they would say. It's just a big chunk of Eiver Ben Achai. How could you eat it? So listen to what the Gemara answers. The Gemara says, because Torah describes Eretz Yisrael as Eretz, Zavas, Chalav, Udvash. And listen, it's the weirdest Gemara in the world. And it can't be that Hashem would be comparing Eretz Yisrael to something that's not kosher. So if Eretz Yisrael is compared to Eretz Zavas, Chalav, Udvash, it must be that Chalav is kosher. That's a real woozy. There's obviously a lot more here, but the Gemara says, could it be that the pasuk is praising Eretz Yisrael with something that's not kosher? It can't be. It must be that milk must be kosher based on this pasuk. In other words, the pasuk, Eretz Zavas Chalav Udvash, is what teaches us that even though I would think that milk should not be kosher, milk should be considered Eva Menachai, comes this pasuk and makes milk kosher. In which case, now we get to a beautiful idea that the Ger Rebbe, the Pnei Menachem, suggests. The Pnei Menachem actually died on Shavuos in 1948 when the Jordanian legion had Yerushalayim under siege. He died in that, not because of the siege, but he died in Yerushalayim at that time. He wasn't able to be buried in Har HaZeisim, so he's buried in the courtyard in the Ger Yeshiva in Yerushalayim, the Sasemes Yeshiva. So, listen to what he says. I had this shaila a few weeks ago on Pesach. The last days of Pesach, I was at my brother's house, and my niece had something in the washer right before Shabbos. She had to wash a piece of clothing on the last day of Chol Moed for the last days of Yom Tov. But when Yom Tov came in, it was wet. So what's the halach of wet clothing? Well, if it's wet enough that it's tofech amanas latpich, it's wet enough that if you would touch it, your finger would get wet such that you could wet something else. It's meaning, so something that's very, not just moist, but something that's really wet, that's saturated, so that's muktzah. Because a word, you'll come to wring it out. But what happens to wet clothing over the course of a day? Well, if it's not stuffed into some dark, cramped place, it will dry. Well, after it dries, it's not wet anymore, so what could you do with it? That's what we would think. One would think that you could wear it. However, there's a halacha in Hilchos Muktzah that says, Migudis katzai, the ben hashmasha, something that is muktzah during ben hashmasha, is katzai, is muktzah l'chula yoma, for the whole day, which teaches us that whatever status something comes into Shabbos with, that status, that halachic status remains, even if the reason for that status is gone. So that means that since when Shabbos started, this piece of clothing was muktzah, it stays muktzah even on Shabbos. If that's the case, you can't put on that item of clothing even after it dries. That was a story that happened to me on Pesach. Says the Gerei Rebbe, and listen to this brilliance. We said that the Torah was given on Shabbos, right? That means when Shabbos came, that Friday night, right before they got the Torah the next morning, was milk kosher or not kosher? Well, milk is Eivir Menachai. What happened the next morning? We got the Torah in the Torah. What does it say? Eretz, Zavas, Chalav, Udvash. What does that word teach us? Chalav teach us, and it must be that milk is kosher. So wait a second, says the Ger Rebbe. Migudis Katzai Ben Hashemash, when Shabbos came in, was milk kosher? No. So what? It can't change its status in the middle of Shabbos, and then now all of a sudden become kosher because Hashem gave us this pasuk that shows us that milk is kosher. And therefore, how could it be that we eat milk because they didn't have meat, but so meat was didn't be too hard to make, to shecht and to clean and to prepare, so they had milk. You couldn't have milk because milk was muktza. What? No, everything else was kosher. The only problem that we had before the Torah was given, meat was kosher. It wasn't Eiv Menachai, right? If you'd kill it. There's no halachas of shechita for Ben Noach, which we were before in Matan Torah. The only thing that was also were live animals. And what else? Things that are taken away from out of live animals, like milk. All grains, all fruits, all vegetables, all meats, all birds or fish are all kosher. Except Eiv Menachai, because that's when Hashem mitzvahs Ben Noach. So milk was the one thing that wasn't kosher, and therefore, even though it became kosher when we got Zeres Aschav Advash, when we got the Torah, but Migudis Katzai, once it was mukta when Shabbos comes in, it's mukta for the duration, and therefore they couldn't have milk. What are you telling me, Mr. Mishnah Brura, actually, that the minhag to have milk is because they couldn't have meat, because they had milk. Milk was mukta, you couldn't have milk. That's the fourth question on this general understanding that many of us have had, that we have milchiks to commemorate the fact that they didn't have time or the ability to prepare for meat, so instead we had milk. But with his last answer, with his last question on that understanding of why we have milchiks, you could come out with a brand new understanding of why we bedavka do eat milchiks on Pesach. And this is from Moshe Sternbuch in Eretz Israel. You know what he says? I told this story from Moshe Sternbuch. So Moshe Sternbuch is a gadol b'Israel, and he's also the Av Beis Din of Johannesburg, if I remember correctly. So I went to his shul in the Beis Knesset Hagra in Har Nof. Some of you might be familiar with it. He's the Rav, so I was davening there once, and I wanted to ask him a shayla. So I don't know if I had a real shayla, I made up a shayla. After davening, I go to him, he's sitting there. I think it was before Mincha. And I start, you know, in my broken Hebrew, you know, saying whatever my question was. And he looks at me and says, "You could just ask me in English. My English is a lot better than your Hebrew." So he's in Johannesburg, they speak English there. Yeah. So Moshe Sternbuch says that based on the whole discussion we just had, we could present a brand new answer to why we have this minhag of having milchiks on Shavuos. What would that be? That it would be the following. What are we celebrating? Exactly. For the first time in history, we were able to eat milk. So okay, that year, you're right, maybe it was mukta. Okay, forget that year. But for the rest of history, what are we celebrating? That before Matan Torah, milk was Eivrim and Hachai. Once the Torah was given and we have Eretz Zavas Chalav Advash, that teaches us that Eretz Yisrael would obviously only be compared to something kosher, so milk is now kosher, even though it's Eivim HaNachai. Even though it's Eivim HaNachai, the Torah testifies that milk is kosher. So what do? We celebrate on Shavuos the fact that milk is kosher. Now if you think deeply for a second, something very cool happened. When we get the Torah, we usually assume that all kinds of restrictions set in on us, right? Until then, I could do whatever I want on Shabbos. Well, Shabbos, we got it tomorrow anyway. I could eat whatever I want, and I could eat all the grasshoppers I want, and I could eat pig, and I could do all the kinds of things whenever I want, and all of a sudden, Hashem gives us the Torah, and I can't marry all these people, and I can't eat all these foods, and I can't do all these things, and I can't do them when I want to do them. And what's this an example of? The exact opposite, the exact inverse, that only because we got the Torah, something that used to be Eiv Menachai was now turned to be something because of Eretz Zavas Chalav Advash that is Mutar Ba'achila. So we commemorate that wonderful thing by eating milchiks the rest of history to remind ourselves that milk only became kosher because we got the Torah. So that's Rav Moshe Sternbuch's explanation of our minhag to eat milchiks on Shavuos. The third explanation, which is something that you might have heard from the Shulchan Aruch actually gives this reason, is the following. But before we go into that, we have to learn some Hilchas Basar V'Chalav before we actually talk about the Yantav Shavuos. So halacha is, and my kids do this all the time, whenever I my wife serves chicken and they're not so excited with chicken, they'd rather have like some, you know, yogurt. So they go to the kitchen and they take the yogurt from the fridge and I say, put that back, we're about to have chicken. And they look at me with a smirk on my face and say, so I'm going to have the yogurt first, then I'll have the chicken. That happens all the time. So how does that work? The halacha in the Shulchan Aruch says as follows. Somebody has cheese and he wants to eat meat. So listen to the things that have to happen. Tzarech leva'er me'al ha'shulchan. The person has to destroy from upon the table the leftover pas that he ate with the gvina. A person has to get rid of whatever bread was eaten with the milchik meal. So if you had milchiks with a... If you had bread with your milchiks, you had, let's say, cream cheese on a bagel, and now you want to have the chicken, or if you have yogurt with bread, I guess, and now you want to have your chicken, you have to get rid of that bread, even though the bread didn't touch anything, but we're worried that bread was always eaten with the rest of the food, might have touched, you have to get rid of that bread that you ate and bring out a new bread to eat with your chicken. Now, says the Rama, points out the following. What's the korban that we brought on Shavuos? Shtei Alechem. Says the Pasuk that after you count Chamishim Yom, V'yikrav Temecha Chadashah L'Hashem, you bring a korban after 50 days, that's Shavuos. Mimosho Osechem, Tavil Lechem Tnufa. How many? Shtayim. So you take two loaves of bread on Shavuos. Says the Rama, based on this, listen to how he says it, because I don't think people realize this. The minhag is to eat ma'achalei chalav b'yom rishon shel Shavuos. The Rama says that the minhag to eat milchiks is when? On the first day. Now most people have Shavuos, well some people have a lot of milchiks, but those people who try to maximize meat and minimize milk, but they want to have at least one milchik a meal to have this, usually they'll do it on the second day when they're sick of meat. That's not like the Rama. The Rama says the minhag is on the first day. Something to consider. Says the Rama, why is there a minhag to have... The Rama himself, the Shulchan Aruch, says, why is there a minhag to have milchiks on Shavuos? Because we want to remind ourselves of the korban of shtei halachem. So we engineer at our meal a halachic requirement to have two loaves of bread. How do you do that? Says the Rama, first you have a milchik meal that had its own bread, and then you have meat, and we said that you have to get rid of the bread that was with the milk, so you have to bring out a new loaf of bread for the meat. So therefore, for this meal that has both milk and meat in it, you're going to have two loaves of bread for halachic purposes, and therefore you'll be mekayim, a commemoration of the shtei halachim, the carbon that was brought on Shavuos in the Beis HaMikdash. And that's the source for the halacha of milk and meat in order to, as a commemoration, for the shtei halacha. Now keep in mind, it ends up being that this really happens when? Not just by having a milchik meal. By having milchiks and then fleishes within one meal at one sitting, that forces you to bring out a second loaf of bread. So according to the Rama, it's all the other answers that we've given until now, whether it's we weren't able to get the meat ready on time, or that to commemorate the fact that milk became mutter, those answers just say have milk. But here, the way the Rama and the Shulchan Aruch is saying, it's going to be in the context of a meal that has both milchiks and fleishes, that will be mechayev us to have two loaves of bread. That's only going to be a chayev if it's in the context of one meal, where you have to have two loaves of bread with one meal. Two loaves of bread in a meal, that is a zecher for the shtei halachem. Of course, when being machmir for this minhag, to have both milk and meat at the same meal, you obviously don't want to, as the Mishnah Berurah points out, you don't want to mess yourself up to be machmir for this chumrah, this minhag, and therefore be mekel in the halachas of meat and milk. What are the halachas, by the way? And this, again, my kids, when they have their yogurt before their chicken, are very well familiar with this. So the halacha is three things. The first thing is actually an interesting thing. You have to, the Shulchan Aruch says, in Hilchos Basar V'Chalav, when you have milk and now you want to have meat, do you have to make a bracha achrona first? Absolutely not. But the opposite you do. Meaning, let's say a person waits 1 hour or 3 hours or 6 hours. And let's say you're sitting at you're a yaki, so you wait 3 hours. And you have a fleshka meal, and now you're sitting and schmoozing for dessert for hours and hours and hours, and it's now 5 PM, you want to have some ice cream, but you didn't bench yet. Are you allowed to have that ice cream? You're not allowed to have ice cream, because you have to bench. However, the opposite, if you first have milk and then you want to have meat, go ahead, you don't have to make a bracha achrona, you can make the shahaka on your yogurt, and then that shreim shahaka will count for your chicken, for your roast beef, and no bracha is needed in the middle. That's the first point. Second, so no bracha is needed. What do you do? Yes, I have to do? Says the Shulchan Aruch, Ya'ayin yadav. You should look at your hands carefully to make sure there's no cheese on them. But if it's at nighttime when you can't look at your hands clearly, you have to wash them in all circumstances. We all live with lights on, so the halacha should never be that you have to wash your hands, but the halacha should be that you have to look at your hands to make sure that they're cleaned. I did see, by the way, one of the Achron of the Prima Gundam points out that if you ate only with a fork, or you ate the yogurt with my kids, sometimes yogurt could be eaten with hands also, but if you eat yogurt with a spoon, so is there any halacha to check your hands or to make sure your hands are clean? No, you didn't touch it. We can't be worried that maybe there's something left on your fingers because you ate it in the first place with a spoon. So you wouldn't have to check your hand. That first requirement would be knocked out. So then there would be only two requirements left. The second is that you have to clean your mouth. How do you clean your mouth? Says the Shulchan Aruch, you should chew bread and get it really clear, clean it all around. And you don't have to use bread, you can use anything else except for things that are sticky. I think what's the best example of things that are sticky in your mouth? I would say peanut butter. So it's things that stick to your palate, that's what the Shulchan Aruch says. So besides those things, because they don't get all around, they sort of stick to your palate. So peanut butter you can't use, but you could use bread or anything else, you could eat an apple. I know the post can talk about brushing teeth, I don't remember what they say, but I don't know if that's so pashut, because I think part of the halacha is that you also have to swallow something, meaning chew it, well, and then swallow it, and most people don't swallow their toothbrushes. If they do, there are other issues to discuss. Finally, so after checking their hands and chewing something and swallowing it, thirdly, they also have to rinse their mouth with water or with wine. That is all true. If I had cheese, I had yogurt, and now I want to have meat. But if I only want to have chicken, says the Shulchan Aruch, none of these steps are necessary. But med dvar mamur, why do we say that you have to check your hands and clean your mouth with food and also rinse your mouth out with a liquid? Bibasar behema v'chaya. If it's real basar behema, that's coming after milk. Avalim bala echol b'sar of achar gvina, then you need neither kinuach nor washing your hands. Oh, maybe you still have to rinse your mouth out. Okay, I didn't realize that. I just noticed that in the Lashon of the Shulchan Aruch. It says you don't have to do lo kinuach v'lo netila. It sounds like you might still need to rinse your mouth out with a liquid. So you just, have a drink, gurgle a little, and that would be sufficient. I want to make one point about the Ramah. The Ramah who is telling us that the reason why we have milchiks on Shavuos is in order that we should engineer a scenario where halacha requires us to have two loaves of bread to zecher l'korban l'shtei halachem. Let me ask you a question. This happens in my house almost every Motzei Shabbos. You have your challah, and then Motzei Shabbos, you're having your malav milk, you want to make some grilled cheese. Or perhaps in some houses, Sunday morning French toast. What's the best thing in the world for French toast? Challah. Wait a second, what do you mean? But the challah was on the table with your fleishika meal. How could you now use it for French toast if you put milk in your French toast, I do. That should be a problem. Or how can you make the grilled cheese? And that's the minhag olam is that we do use that's what Ramosha says. What? So Ramosha Feinstein says that the reason why we're not makpid to not use the slices for our grilled cheese Motzei Shabbos or French toast on the Sunday mornings is because the Isser, if you look very carefully at the words of the Shulchan Aruch, you see it's actually in the Shulchan Aruch, the Isser of having the bread from the meal being used for the opposite kind of food, bread from meat meal being used for milk, with a milk meal, is only on the actual pieces of bread that you were eating with your chicken or eating with your cheese, or the small slices that were sliced to use with the meat or with the milk. But whatever stayed as the half a loaf that you didn't cut yet, that does not have this halacha, because we're not worried that maybe you let it touch something because it wasn't part of the, it wasn't being handled for the meal. Which is why when I cut challah on Shabbos, I know some people say just cut the whole challah and this way everybody is free to take. I'm always like, cut as little challah as you can, because I want to keep it fresh. It always stays fresher if you leave it old. And also, if I want to use it for, you know, grilled cheese the next day, I'd rather be part of the half a challah that I didn't cut so that I could use it for my French toast the next day. Now, let's put two and two together. Give me a second. And this might be your question. According to Rav Moshe, we just found out what? That you could easily have a scenario where you have, let's say you have milchiks, and you have half a loaf left. Now you want to have fleishos. What do? Do you have to remove that half a loaf?
No.
No, you don't have to. So halacha lemaisa lemaisa lemaisa, according to Rav Moshe, you're not really going to have to remove that half a loaf. You could have that same half a loaf that you didn't cut with your first milchka meal, and then 5 minutes later, leave that same half a loaf that you haven't yet cut on the table and have your fleishka meal. And you're not having your shtei halachem. So halacha lemaisa, the way we pass in like Rav Moshe, you're not going to end up with the two loaves that the Rama was suggesting to have on Shavuos as a way of engineering with your milchka and fleishka meal. So that's just something to consider. Is that what your question going to be?
I was going to say,
if you're saying about keeping it half for the next day, is that you have that in mind that you're saving it? Yeah, because I think it's not, you're asking, is that hachana? I'm purposely not cutting the second half of my challah so that I could use it for French toast Sunday morning. I have never seen this inside, but I would just assume it'd be correct that hachana is when you do an action that is mechin for the next day. But here, what are you doing? You're not doing an action. You're not doing something. And your passive non-doing is as a preparation. So you didn't do an act of hachana. So what can we say is asr? I should have to cut more challah than I need? So I think that would be the case. Okay. I want to finish off with one other explanation why we are bedavka have milchiks on Shavuos, for the minhag of having milchiks on Shavuos. And this is based on a medrash. I'll share the medrash with you, a very beautiful medrash. And based on the medrash, you'll see where we're going to go with it. Medrash says as follows. Where's this medrash? Medrash Tehillim Parakas. Says the Medrash, Moshe went up to Har Sinai, and he stayed up there. And Bnei Yisrael did their Egel Azav down here. Moshe broke the Luchos. Samchu Malachei Hashareis Va'amru Achshav Tachzor HaTorah Eleinu. Baruch Hashem, the guys downstairs messed up. We're going to get our Torah back. Because the Malachim weren't happy that we were getting the Torah. They thought mortals shouldn't be trusted with something so precious. Baruch Hashem, the guys downstairs messed up. We're going to get our Torah back. Says HaKadosh Baruch Hu to the Malachim, I don't understand something. You're trying to, you know, be a kategor between me and Bnei Yisrael, and you're saying you guys deserve the Torah, not Bnei Yisrael. Don't you remember when you went down to visit Avram Avinu, and you had basar b'chalav, like the pasuk says, "Aykach emav v'chalav min habakar," and the malachim who came to visit Avraham when he was sick, they had chemav v'chalav and ben habakar. They had milk with, they had butter with their tongue. And says HaKadosh Baruch to the malachim, every child of, you know, every little cheder yingle knows that you can't have basar b'chalav. So they didn't have an answer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. At that moment, Hashem says to Moshe, I'm going to give you the second set of luchos. You won. Says the Beis HaLevi, that's Chaim Soloveitchik's father, the Rav's great-grandfather, he said the following. He says, this is the source for our minhag to have milchiks, because the whole purpose of us, how does he say it? Hold on. He says, on Yontif, we have meat. Because meat is what we always, that's part of the halachas of Yontif, is to have meat. In Simcha v'basar v'yayin. But if you also have milk, then what are you going to have to do? You're going to have to show a zehirus, a very deliberate care in how you eat your meal and how you set up your day and how you run your kitchen. You have to have a zehirus to have your fleshka yontif meals along with whatever milk you're going to have for the minhag, for having this minhag. So therefore, by having milk and showing the care and the zehirus that we have for being careful with meat and milk, we're showing that that's exactly what was our claim? Why were we, according to this medrash, zocha to the Torah, not the malachim? We're zocha to the Torah, not the malachim, we're zocha to the Torah, by virtue of the very fact that they weren't careful with the basa b'chala, but we are careful with the basa b'chala. So therefore, we bedakka put ourselves in situations where we have basa and we have chala, and we're careful about it to show that that's our claim to Torah, which is what we're celebrating on Chag HaShavuos. So that's the whole reason for having milchik, so we could celebrate bedavka that we got the Torah, that and the way we were zocha to get the Torah is only specifically through being our care for basar v'chalav. It's interesting to they used to say that Reb Chaim Brisk was known for being such a gaon, and he just created the whole the brisker derech, the brisker mahalach. He created this mindset called brisk, of very analytical learning. And people say that because he was such an incredible genius and a gaon and a Tal Chacham, people don't realize that at that time he was known as the big tzaddik of Chesed. Apparently all the mamzerim in town would be left at his doorstep, and Reb Chaim Soloveitchik would just adopt, moms would be born, and the mother would just deposit, wouldn't want to raise the baby in shame, so they're just babies deposited on his doorstep. He just took them all in to his own house. So that was Reb Chaim Soloveitchik and Reb Chaim. And Reb Chaim said about the Beis HaLevi, who said the vort I just shared with you, that I see somebody in pain and do chesed to them. My father, that's the Beis HaLevi who we just learned together, my father used to figure out why people are in pain. Meaning, I just see somebody in pain and I react. My father used to figure out what probably makes a person have pain and does chesed to prevent them from having the pain. He has something like that, just to show that his chesed is nothing compared to his father's chesed. So it's just important to realize the chesed shel emes, the chesed, the Torah's chesed al shona, the chesed with the Torah. It's not a great gun in Torah, and then there's another person who's a big baal chesed, but the greater person who's in Torah, the greater person that could become it is a baal chesed. And I want to share with you just one more thought, which is connected to this, but just a different idea. Which is very similar to this Beis HaLevi. And I think this idea that I'm about to share has more broader applications in terms of our Avodas Hashem, not just on Shavuot's time, but in general. And that goes as follows. I share with you one medrash that the reason why the Malachim thought that they were going to get the Torah and not Bnei Yisrael is because we messed up, we made the eagle, but they, and then Hashem says, but you guys messed up, are you eating basar v'chalav, so give it to the Jews. There's another chazal that's very, very similar to that, and it goes like this. And I think I might have mentioned it once, but I think it's worth hearing again, or you didn't hear it, so therefore it's worth hearing for the first time. There's a machlokas in the Gemara, whether or not, there's a stirim psukim, how we're supposed to celebrate Shavuot. There's a pasuk that says Atzeres Lashem. This would be a day of specialness for Hashem. Another pasuk says Atzeres Lachem. Both talking about Shavuos. So we have a contradiction. So Shavuos was a day of enjoying for ourselves, of eating, of sleeping, of dining on fine cuisine. Or is it supposed to be a day of Hashem, of maybe even fasting? Okay, maybe not fasting. You have to have minimal yant, suda, but davening and learning and avoda. It's a stirim psukim. And the Gemara asks, how do you deal with this stirim psukim? The first opinion is Chatzyehu Chatzyeh Lachem V'Chatzyeh Lashem. You might have heard that phrase. And that's how we paskin. That we have half a day for this, and the Rambam describes what kind of half a day for this and half a day. You go to shul in the morning, and then you come home and eat, and then you go learn, and then you go eat, and then you go daven, and then you go to Bikur Chol, all the things, whatever the schedule is, half and half, balance of enjoyment for ourselves, and a balance of Avodas Hashem, davening and learning. There's another opinion in that Gemara. We don't paskin like it, but it says the following. You know why there's a stira between psukim of Hashem or Lachem? Because every single Jew has a choice. They could either choose their Yom Tov to be Kula Lachem, or they have the choice to choose Kula Lachem. And every person has his right, his or her right, to choose. I am a person that I want to celebrate Yom Tov by eating all day, and they'll eat all day long. They're not going to go to Shir, they're not going to go to Shul, they just eat all day, and they fulfill that Tzeres Lachem, that Lachem. You have somebody else who says, my speed is I like learning davening, not so into the food anyway. He's not going to eat. Or they'll eat a tiny bit just to be yotzi, the minimal mitzvah. They'll just learn davening, do their avodah all day long. But the Gemara concludes, even if you go like the second pshat that says that you could choose to be Ovid Hashem all day long, if that's your choice. But everybody agrees that when it comes to Shavuos, you need a little bit of lachem. A little bit of your own enjoyment. Why? What do you think the answer would be? Well, let me just tell you the line that doesn't make sense. Everybody agrees that you need a little bit of lachem, debo hayom nitna Torah liYisrael. Wait a second. Because on Shavuos we got the Torah, that's why we need what? Because we got the Torah, that's why we need, even if you want to do lachem, you need a little bit of spirituality. It doesn't make sense that because we got the Torah, that's why you have to have cheesecake, but that's what Chazal say, that everybody agrees, because we got the Torah, you have to have cheesecake, you have to have a little bit of lachem. You can't choose to be spiritual all day long. Doesn't make sense. So the answer that I heard, that's very similar to what we just said, is based on another medrash, which is similar to the medrash I just mentioned. A different medrash says the following, that when Moshe goes up to Shemayim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Malachim say, Hashem, why are you giving your Torah to these mortal dodo faces, human beings? After all, this is Maaseh Elokim. How could you give it to a human being? They'll mess it up. Hashem Baruch Hu says to Moshe, respond to them. So Moshe says, and the Maharal explains what this means. Moshe says to them, Yesh lachem, did you ever leave Mitzrayim? That the Pasuk could say, Ashot Seisi Yitzchem Eretz Mitzrayim. Do you have parents about whom the Pasuk could say, Kabed Savicha? Do you have a taiva to steal such that the Pasuk could say, Lo Sigzol? Maral explains, what was Moshe telling them? Moshe was telling them that you want what from the Torah, Mr. Malachim? You want the Chachma Elokis that the Torah has contained in it, that the Torah represents, that divine wisdom that is only in Torah. That's what you want. But that's not the point of Torah, Moshe Rabbeinu was telling them. The point of Torah is to take this Chachma Elokis and apply it in real life situations, in dealing with your parents, and dealing with other people in business, and in dealing with, you know, going to work every day. That's where the Torah is not just Chachma Elokis, but is actualized, is realized, is brought to life through the Chachma, through the living it with the Yetzer Hara and with a world of Gashmis around us, and with the interactions with other people in the business world. That's where Torah is supposed. That's the theater where Torah is supposed to be orchestrated. If that was the machlokas between the Malachim and Moshe Rabbeinu, and that was Moshe Rabbeinu's response to the Malachim, so what is our zechus for Torah? What is our claim to Torah, as opposed to the Malachim? Our claim is specifically what? That we have an ability to be involved and to elevate Torah and to elevate the world that the Malachim are not able to do. If there's a Malach here and a piece of cheesecake there, there's no connection between them. If there's a Jew here and a piece of cheesecake there and they eat it in the Shem Mitzvah, what did the Jew do that a Malach can't? Besides doing the mitzvah, elevating that cheesecake, taking a domain, taking something that's physical, that's devoid of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, devoid of spirituality, and elevating it so that too is infused with Ruchnius, that's something that only a Jew could do, and not a Malach. And that's the whole point of the Torah that Moshe Rabbeinu was telling the Malachim, that you might be able to have Chachma Elokis, but you don't have the ability to elevate the world around you, Mr. Malachim. So now we understand the Gemara so clearly. What is our zechus? What is our claim to Torah as opposed to Malachim? the very fact that we have all the physical things that we could elevate, that we could enjoy a yontif meal, we could have a piece of chocolate cheesecake or cherry-topped cheesecake or blueberry-topped. When I was in Lakewood, the chef was a yeshiva guy who went to culinary school, and it was his avodas Hashem to make good food for the yeshiva boys. It wasn't just a job. It wasn't, you know, sometimes you go to, there's a cook in the basement, and he's, you know, from some other country, and he just does his job and gets, slops the food down. He felt his avodas Hashem and his life's mission, he was into culinary stuff, was to make good food for the guys in Lakewood. When I went to Lakewood, we had four kinds of cheesecake on Shavuos. There was clean white cheesecake, there was chocolate cheesecake, there was blueberry cheesecake, and there was cherry cheesecake. All served at once. That's the koach of a Jew, not to eat four kinds. But we could elevate that cheesecake the Malachim can't. So therefore, we understand the Gemara. The Gemara says, why did we, Kuli Alma Modi, everybody agrees that on Shavuos, you have to, even if you want to have a day full of spirituality and full of fasting and davening and learning all day, you have to have a little bit of Lachem. Why? To bo ha'il nitzna Torah li Yisrael, and not to the Malachim. So because it was given to Yisrael, not to Malachim, why? Because we have that ability of Lachem, of eating and elevating the world around us. So Be'ezus Hashem HaKadosh Baruch Hu should give us the ability to be Mekadesh, all of the things around us, to use all of the tools that and the gifts that Hashem pours upon us for to serve Him. And this way we could be Zocha to Torah on this Shavuos and for the rest of our lives. Hopefully we'll see you next week.